All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Life Walk with Christ God. Be nice. I'm wearing my girlfriend's glasses. So I forgot mine at my friend's house, which I have to go down and get afterward. But we could do without, you know, God always finds a way and provides. So that's what we'll do. Okay. Last week, I'm sorry, I had walking pneumonia, hence my coughing and everything. So but I'll tell you where we were. We are on page 45, and we are at Jacob makes peace with Esau. Now, we already know Jacob, he fought with an angel before he crossed over the river, and he wrestled all night long with the angel. And he said, let me go. It's almost morning. And he said, no, not until you bless me. And, of course, he prevailed. And the angel said, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. Well, from now on in, it's going to be Israel. And he asked him his name, and it was never given. It's a mystery. But we know it's an angel. And of course, he says he wrestled with face to face with God. But metaphorically speaking, when we go through our problems and our pasts and everything else, spiritually, we wrestle with ourselves and say, okay, I could have handled that better. I could have done this better. We are wrestling with our conscious, our subconscious, and, you know, trying to be more Christ-like, walk more God-like. So him wrestling with the angel, of course, he tested God. If you remember at the beginning, hey, you'll be my God. If you watch over me, you'll walk with me and everything, kind of tempting God in a lot of ways. But at the same time, he becomes obedient, and Jacob is a trickster. You knew that. He tricked Esau. He tricked his father. He tricked Laban, but Laban tricked him. So understand, now he's going to come face to face, and he's still being a little bit deceitful with Esau. He's put the servants and everyone in front, and we already know in the back, and then Leah up there, and then all of a sudden in the back, well, who's back there? Rachel is. So, and he's worked a lot of years, of course, for Laban's father, who overtook him on the way back. And Jacob said, listen, you changed my wages 10 times. You've done these things. I haven't done anything to you. And he said, you stole my wares from my household, my other gods. And we already know who did that. So that was Rachel. But she told her father, listen, I can't get up and get off of my horse. I'm in my womanly time. So, but she did it, you know, because the two girls are like, what have we gotten from an inheritance from our father? And they felt like they were being sold, you know, to Jacob for doing the work. So they felt less than equal at all and slighted. And at the same time, we had that conflict going on between Rachel and Leah. Oh, if I have one more child, surely he'll love me more. Jacob will love me more. But Jacob was always in love with Rachel. It doesn't mean he didn't love Leah. It was just, that was right there. She was the one, you know? So now here we are. Jacob is going to make peace with Esau. We're on chapter 33, page 45, King James Bible. And like I said, be nice because I'm at this point right now where I don't have my own glasses, but like I said, God has a way. He'll make do. And Jacob lifted up his eyes and look, and behold, Esau came and with him 400 men. And he divided the children unto Leah and unto Rachel and unto two handmaids. And he put the handmaids and their children foremost and Leah and her children after and Rachel and Joseph hinder most. So he's got them in an order of hierarchy, and you can see this. And he wants to see how Esau is going to react to seeing him. Is he going to be bitter and angry and everything else? And he passed over before him and bowed himself to the ground seven times. You know, and here seven times. Always these specific numbers, the numerology and everything else. And then we find out later exactly what that is. You know, we have over 60,000 plus front backwards references throughout the entire Bible, which just proves the Bible over and over and over again. And it's just so wonderful. And let's, here we are, verse 4, chapter 33. And Esau ran to meet them and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Here's that reconciliation now. We always talk about the conflict and everything, and throughout the Bible, it's conflict and it's reconciliation. And it's this love pattern which makes this the greatest true love story of all time. There's a reason the Bible has been number one seller and is the best book and has been in history. No way is it going to get dethroned. So let's move on. And he lifted up his eyes and saw the women and the children and said, "Who are those with thee?" And he said, "The children which God hath graciously given thy servant." Now he's approaching this as, "I am God's servant." Instead of when he first started and he said, "If you do this, if you do that, surely I will follow you." The handmaids came near, they and their children, and they bowed down themselves. And Lisa and Leah also with her children came near and bowed down themselves. And after came Joseph and Rachel, and they bowed down themselves. And he said, "What meanest by all this drove which I met?" And he said, "These are to find grace in thy sight of thy Lord." Yes, it's to find grace. That is his olive branch, his "forgive me for what I've done, taking your birthright and deceiving you with the blessing and everything else." You know, it's one of those things. And I think when he was wrestling with the angel and wrestling with his innermost being, that's exactly what this was. Is he is fighting, not only did he wrestle with the angel, of course, we know his hip was taken out of socket, out of joint. And we know the reason why you don't eat the tendons and everything else. There's reasons to go behind that. But we also see that this wrestling, you know, looking at it, is part of everything going on. And Jacob said, "Nay, I pray thee, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then receive my present at my hand. For therefore I have seen thy face as though I had seen the face of God, and thou was pleased with me." Now think about what he just said. "I have seen thy face as though I had seen the face of God." Well, he did, didn't he? He wrestled with the angel. So you could kind of see where this is going. And he's kind of reaffirming what we're saying here. So let's move on. And he said, "And thou was pleased with me." God is pleased with him. Esau is pleased with him. "Take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee, because God hath dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough." And he urged him, and he took it. And he said, "Let us take our journey, and let us go, and I will go before thee." Very important. Now he's going to go before thee. So Esau will trail behind, Jacob in the front. If any trouble happens, Jacob is now putting himself and his family. But we're gonna take a look at that. "And Jacob journeyed to Succoth and built him a house and made booths for his cattle. Therefore, the name of that place is called Succoth. And Jacob came to Shechem, a city, Shechem, which which came for Padan, and pitched his tent before the city. And he brought a parcel of the field where he had spread his tent at the hand of the children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of money. And he erected there an altar and called it," oh boy, I'm never going to get this right, Ilio Israel. And Dinah, now we're on chapter 34. And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and defiled her. So when he took her, he's not asking her permission. No, he's physically assaulting her. He's raping her. And his soul craved unto Dinah, the damsel of Jacob. And he loved the damsel and spoke kindly unto the damsel. For Shechem spoke unto his father, Hamor, saying, give me this damsel to wife. And Jacob heard that he had defiled Dinah with his daughter. And now his sons were with his cattle in the field. And Jacob held his peace until they were come. And Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out unto Jacob to commune with him. And the sons of Jacob came out of the field when they heard of it. And the men were grieved, and they were very wroth, because he had wrought folly in Israel in laying with the daughter, with Jacob's daughter, which a thing ought not to be done. It's offensive. It's offensive. It's done in wrong, and we all know that. So the brothers are upset. You know, they're wroth. They're angry. And really, Dinah wasn't given a choice. And Hamor communed with them, saying, the soul of my son Shechem longeth for your daughter. I pray you give her to him to wife. And make ye marriages with us, and give your daughters unto us, and take our daughters unto you. Now that's a pretty kind of audacity to expect that. But does Hamor know exactly the circumstances of everything that happened? I don't know. But, you know, I don't think we'll ever know. But the fact that he said, hey, listen, give your daughters to us and everything else goes against their family's principles and their upbringing and everything else. And you shall dwell with us, and the land shall be before you. Dwell, and trade ye therein, and get your possessions therein. And Shechem said unto her father and unto her brethren, let me find grace in your eyes, and what ye shall say unto me I will give. Ask me never so much dowry and gift, and I will give according as ye shall say unto me. Now he wants to do it in a proper way. And it's kind of hard to take back when you've done it in the wrong way. So now he's saying, okay, I'll do whatever for the dowry or whatever else, but you already defiled her. You've already committed the act. So let's see how they handle this. And the sons of Jacob answered Shechem and Hamor, his father, deceitfully, and said, because he had defiled Dinah, their sister, and they said unto him, we cannot do this thing to give our sister to one that is uncircumcised, for that were a reproach unto us. And you have to remember that God has this covenant too. So by them doing this, they've broken this covenant with them, and unclean. It's not to happen. But in this we will consent to you, if ye will be as we be, that every male of you be circumcised, then we will give our daughters unto you, and we will take your daughters unto us, and we will dwell with you, and we will become one people. Now, I don't know about you, but I didn't buy that at all. And their daughter has, they're not seeing, they're seeing red right now. So we know this. And then they say, here we are, verse 17, 34. But if you will not hearken unto us to be circumcised, then we will take our daughter and we will be gone. And their words pleased Hamor and Shechem, Hamor's son. And the young man deferred not to do this, and deferred not to do the thing, because he had delighted in Jacob's daughter, and he was more honorable than all the house of his father. More honorable. So out of all of that family, he's the bright star. But what he still did was wrong. So you have to understand, and we run into people like this every day, that we find people that their way of life is just not up to maybe our standards or in things that we believe in and everything else. So let's see how they handle all of this. This ought to be interesting. And the young man deferred not the thing. So, and Hamor and Shechem, his son, came unto the gate of their city and communed with the men of their city, saying, these men are peaceable with us. Therefore, let them dwell in the land and trade therein. For the land, behold, it is large enough for them. Let us take their daughters for us for wives, and let us give them our daughters. Only therein will these men consent to us for to dwell with us, to be one people. If every male among us to be circumcised as they are circumcised. That's the condition that is laid out before them. And they're accepting it. Shall not their cattle and their substance and every beast of theirs be ours? Only let us consent unto them, and they will dwell with us. And unto Hamor and unto Shechem, his sons hearkened all that went out of the gate of the city, and every male was circumcised, all that went out of the gate of the city. And it came to pass on the third day, when they were sore, that the two of the sons, Jacob and Simeon, Levi, Dinah's brethren, each man his sword, came upon the city boldly and slew all the males. And they slew Hamor and Shechem, his son, with the edge of the sword, and took Dinah out of Shechem's house and went out. So their anger and everything else, and because they were not just her being defiled, but it basically is an insult to them because they weren't circumcised to begin with. But now they dealt with this in a very harsh way, very deceitfully, very wrongly. And we saw this with Cain and Abel. So here we are again. Now there's this conflict. And the sons of Jacob came upon the slain and spoiled the city because they had defiled their sister. They took their sheep and their oxen and their asses and that which was in the city and that which was in the field, and all their wealth, and all their little ones, and their wives, they took captive, and spoiled even all that was in the house. And Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, ye have troubled me. Make me to stink among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites, and I being few in number, they shall gather themselves together against me and slay me, and I shall be destroyed, I and my house. And they said, should he deal with our sister as a harlot, as a prostitute? Jacob already knows what they did was completely wrong, without question. Now Jacob is seriously troubled because now he has to worry about the other clans. You know, this was the Hivites. The Canaanites are there. The Perizzites are there. And yeah, they could team up together and attack him. So this is a problem. And God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there. And make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau, thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with them, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. Get out of those clothes that you have done this in. Get rid of it. Be done with it. Get rid of the foreign gods and everything else. Enough. This is what happens. This kind of catastrophe comes about. Sin comes about if you put it at the door. And lo and behold, isn't that exactly what God had told Cain? If you do good, good things will happen. But if you give birth to sin, sin will be at the door, you know? And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in which way I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of the God was upon the cities that were round about them. They did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, which is the island of Canaan, that is Bethel, he and all his people that were with him. And he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. But Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried beneath Bethel under the oak, and the name of it was called Alongbekath. And God appeared unto Jacob again, and when he came out of Padan-Aram, and blessed him. And God said to him, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee I will give it, and to thy seed after thee I will give the land. And God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. And Jacob set up a pillar in that place where he had talked with him, even a pillar of stone. And he poured a drink offering thereon, and he poured oil thereon. And Jacob called the name of that place where God spoke to him, Bethel. Now here we are. We are on chapter 35, page 48, verse 16, the deaths of Rachel and Isaac. And here we go. And they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephraim. And Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said unto her, fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. And Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephraim, which is Bethlehem. And Jacob set a pillar upon her grave, that is the pillar of Rachel's grave, unto this day. And it's very interesting. Let's finish up real quick, and we'll get back to that. And Israel journeyed and spread his tent beyond the tower of Adar. And it came to pass, when Israel dwelt in the land, that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah. Now, we all know Bilhah was Rachel's maid. And Jacob was already intimate with her. So another thing that is just not good and very foul. And he lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and Israel heard it. And the sons of Jacob were 12, and the sons of Leah, Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, and Simeon, and Levi, and Judah, and Issachar, and Zebulun, the sons of Rachel, Joseph and Benjamin, and the sons of Bilhah, Rachel's handmaid, Dan and Naphtali, and the sons of Zilla, Leah's handmaid, Gad and Asher. And these are the sons of Jacob, which were born to him in Padan-Aram. And Jacob came to Isaac, his father, unto Mamre, into the city of Arba, which is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac sojourned. And the days of Isaac were 84 years, and Isaac gave up the ghost and died, and was gathered unto his people, being old and full of days, and his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. To me, that's kind of we're seeing all this unfold, all these things that happen, and if you notice all the way through it, human beings are pretty terrible people, okay? We've done some pretty horrific things. So it's very interesting as we go through, but God has always given us forgiveness for this, just as he did Jacob. Jacob didn't commit the sins. The kids did because of Dinah, their sister. Yet God said, listen, go here, set up an altar, pray to me, worship to me. And you know what? You're going to be blessed. You're going to get the land I promised Abraham and Isaac, your father. So now we're on chapter 36, page 48, the history of Esau. Now, these are the generations of Esau, who is Edom. Esau took the wives of the daughters of Canaan, Adar, the daughter of Elon, the Hittite, and a Helezmabah, the daughter of Anon, the daughter of Zebulon, the Hittite. And some of these are hard to say, and I'm sorry, guys, I always go through this. But Bashemath, Ishmael's daughter, sister of Nebijoth, and Adair bare Esau, Eliphaz, and Bashemath, and bare Reuel. You would think that these would be easier to pronounce, but they're not. And Aholibamah bare Jeshish, and Jalam, and Korah. And these are the sons of Esau, which were born unto him in the land of Canaan. And Esau took his wives and his sons and his daughters and all the persons of his house and his cattle and all the beasts and all his substance, which he had got in the land of Canaan. And he went to the country from the face of his brother Jacob. Esau is not struggling here. And like he told Jacob when they made up and they, you know, reconciled to each other, he's done well. He's done well. And we knew of two nations, and the older will serve the younger. To me, I think it's an absolute wonderful, wonderful part here, because we're finding out everything that is happening. So here we go. And now we're getting into, and this is my favorite part, because this comes right before Joseph and how important these things happen. For the riches were more than they might dwell together, and the land wherein they were strangers could not bear them because of their cattle. Thus dwelt Esau in Mount Seir, and Esau is Edom. These are the generations of Edom, Esau, the father of the Edomites, in Mount Seir. These are the names of Esau's son, Eliphaz, the son of Adar, the wife of Esau, Reuel, the son of Bashemath, the wife of Esau, and the sons of Eliphaz, the Tenman, Omar, Zepho, Gadam, and Kenaz. And Timnah was the concubine to Eliphaz, Esau's son, and she bore to Eliphaz Amalek, and these were the sons of Adar, Esau's wife. And these are the sons of Reuel, Naath, and Zeron, Shema, Mizah, and these were the sons of Bashemath, Esau's wife. And these were the sons of Aholibah, the daughter of Anah, the daughter of Zebaon, Esau's wife. And she bore to Esau Jeush and Jalam and Korah. And these were the dukes, the sons of Esau's, the sons of Eliphaz, the firstborn, the son of Esau, Duke Tenman, Duke Omar, Duke Zepho, and Duke Kenaz, Duke Korah, Duke Gadam, and Duke Amalek. And these are the dukes that came of Eliphaz, the land of Edom. These were the sons of Adar. They're giving you a genealogy, and we can trace this and take it forward. So we know times, you know, dates around these things. That's how we're keeping track of everything throughout the Bible. And as it goes forward and backwards, it reaffirms that these things happened and these people in the place. And a lot of people ask, well, how do you know that that person existed? Well, in 200 years from now, how do we know you did? How do we know that we did? because it was well documented. It was well documented. And I think that's one of the most important things that we can't forget. So let's move on. And these are the sons of Holibah, Esau's wife. Oh, we already got that. Duke, Jeshish, and Jaalim, Duke Korah. And these were the dukes that came from Aholibama, the daughter of Anah, Esau's wife. These are the sons of Esau, who is Edom. And these are their dukes. So we're going down all the way down the line here. And you can see some of these are the Horites and some of the children of Seir in the land of Edom, the children of Lotan and Horai and the Hemim, and the Lotan's sister was a Timnah, and the children of Shobal, these were Alvin and Manahah, and then Ebal, Shipro, and Onam, and these are the children of Zibeon, and both Ajah and Anah. This was that Anah found the mules in the wilderness as he fed the asses of Zebion, his father, the hot springs. So the children of Anah, these were Dishon and Aholibama and Aholiaba, and the daughter of Anah. And these are the children of Dishon and Hedim and Eshban and Ithran and Sharan. The children of Izar are these, Bilhan and Zavan and Akan. The children of Dishon are these, Uz and Aran. And these are the dukes that came of the Horites, the dukes of Lotan, the duke of Shobal, the duke of Zibeon, and the duke of Anan, and the duke of Dishon, duke Ezer, duke Dishon. These are the dukes that came of the of Horai, among their dukes of the land of Seir. And these are the kings that reigned in the land of Edom before there were reigned any king over the children of Israel. And the Bela, the son of Beor, reigned in Edom, and the same was the city of Dinabah. And Bela died, and Jobin, the son of Zaran, and Bozra reigned in his stead, and Joab died, and Husham of the land of Tinnim reigned in his stead, and Husham died, and Hadad, the son of Bedad, who smote Midian in the field of Moab, reigned in his stead, and the name of the city was Avith. And Hadad died, and Shema of Masca reigned in his stead, and Samla died, and son of Rehoboth, the son of the river, reigned in his stead, and Saul died, and Belahamran, the son of Achbor, reigned in his stead, and Baalhanan, the son of Achbor, died, and Hadar reigned in his stead, and the name of the city was Peu, and his wife's name was Mehetabel, and the daughter of Matred, the daughter of, boy, these are tough, Mezahab. And these are the names of the dukes that came of Esau, according to their families, after their places, by their names, Duke of Timnah, Duke of Aviv, and Duke of Jephthah, and Duke Aholibama, Duke Eli, Duke Penon, and Duke Kenaz, Duke Tenman, Duke Mibzar, and Duke Magadel, and Duke Iram. And these are the dukes of Edom, according to their habitations in the land of their possession. He is Esau, the father of the Edomites. So God kept his word when Esau and Jacob were tumbling around in Rebekah's womb. And of course, she didn't know what was happening at that time, but they were tumbling, wrestling around and everything. And of course, when Esau came out first, Jacob grabbed the ankle. But he said, you have two nations in you. So these were the Edoms. And here we go, the Edomites, which came from Esau. So now we are on to Joseph's family sins against him. This is going to be very interesting now, because now we're getting into Joseph, which is by far one of the most exciting places to get into. And we've seen a lot of stuff as we've moved through here, and a lot of different meanings and everything else that also play forward in the Bible. Jacob's dream, the ladder. And of course, he was sleeping on the stones, right? Which he used them as pillows. And they were by the ladder, and the angels ascending and descending, coming down. Narrow is the gate, narrow is the ladder, if you want to look at it that way. Interpretation is very much the cornerstone. You know, Christ coming down. We know everything starts with Abraham and Isaac. Here we go. But so many different things, so many different ways to look at it. I love the Bible. It's open to so many different interpretations. But you have to pay attention to these things, because it goes backwards and forwards and forwards and backwards. It's just wonderful. And let's go ahead and we'll start on chapter 37. We're not going to go too far tonight. I'm sorry we fell behind a little bit, but we had some technical difficulties and then we figured it out. So what we'll do is we're going to start at chapter 37. And we're going to put this down, 11:17, 24. And we are going to come back to this next week. The names are real hard, guys. I try to do the best that I can, but I don't have the dialect or the tongue to pronounce them well. So please pardon me for that. It's more important to know what it is. It's the genealogy. It's more important to know this is exactly where Esau's lineage is, his genealogy and everything that comes. And it's showing timelines with it, you know. And it's showing God keeping his word. He blessed Esau, even though he's mad at him for giving up his birthright. And a lot of people take that, you know, God hated Esau. Disappointed, maybe. I mean, we can't possibly interpret God's thinking or anything else. Who can think like God? So, but when we look at it, obviously Esau's in the Bible. There was a show of reconciliation after everything that happened. So, and God had it very planned out. Everything came to fruition just as God said. So very interesting on this. Very interesting how this plays out. Next, we're going to get into Joseph, and that's where we're going to start right there. But thank you for tuning in on Life Walk with Christ God. I will have my glasses for the next time. These ones are giving me a little bit of a headache. And we will jump right back in where we left off. Again, apologize for this last week, walking pneumonia. So it was a long, long week. But anyway, be good to one another. Love one another. Be kind. And I will talk to you all next week. Thanks for tuning in.